Welcome to the News Broom. Yes, it is the News Broom, not the No Name Anime Show. You don't know it, but I played the wrong music before. I'm JP, in theory. I'm joined by Kyle and Vinny. I almost said Noel. Fuck my life. Where is my head today? How are you two doing? Vinny first.
I am doing fine today.
How about you, Kyle?
I'll go with fine.
COVID-free.
Oh, yeah.
Which is when your family has COVID and you've gone a whole week without catching it, that means you're being careful enough.
Am I misremembering? Did you catch COVID?
No. Been COVID-free thus far, and I'm hoping to keep it that way.
I think I'm thinking of a few other people. I know Noel finally got it, but he has since recovered. Anyway, this is a new show. We talk about the news from the previous week, mostly from Anime News Network. And it's an hour-long show. It's on Google Podcasts. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. You can find our handles for Twitter in our show notes. You can leave voicemails at 716-46-MOA-43. That's 716-466-6343. Technically, this is a smaller news week, but it's a lot of big news. So should be a good show. Let's get right to it.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
Ooh, it would help if I have the right windows open. I promise that I know what I'm doing. First piece of news. We're going to start off rough. Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund has acquired just over 5% of Nintendo. This is, I believe, the group that is like owned by that prince guy that is likes to kill journalists.
Nothing says family-friendly and Nintendo brand, you know, seal of quality, quite like journalist killings.
I really should learn more facts. So that's the only one I know offhand.
No, they also own, they're the ones who bought most of SNK. So if this trend continues, eventually you won't be able to buy any Japanese video games without supporting a bad dictator guy.
They also have an anime company, don't they? Or like they fund anime?
Yeah, he's behind, there was like The Journey or something, which is like an anime about, we were kind of talking about it in the last few weeks. It was, it's kind of like propaganda.
Surprise.
Like cultural propaganda though, not like, it's like, oh look, there's some army and like, we're going to fight it off in the Middle East kind of deal.
Vinny, we cut you off a little bit. What were you going to say?
I forget now, but yeah. No. I think they might own some American companies too, or I can see them buying some American companies in the near future.
I mean, yeah, this
as
is
they keep expanding.
This is they're trying to clean up their image, right? So they're buying a lot of companies to try to do that.
What? Yeah, I mean, and we should be worried about that.
I guess I don't know a whole lot about this world cuz like I guess I'm imagining, yes. I'm imagining this on a smaller scale. Like if somebody, I don't know, evil said, "Hey, JP, I would like to invest in your future." I would say, "I don't know if I want to be associated with you." But like, are there not rules? Like, can I just, if I have enough money, can I just say I want to have 5% of Nintendo? Is there no checks and balances?
I mean, I know that some companies, they can prevent a hostile takeover, but that's like a majority, right? That has to do with how many, like how much percentage, who owns what. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have just bought 5% off of a bunch of people and yeah, they didn't care.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Usually when you're buying something that big, you are like consulting with the company. I would bet that people who are making money off this don't care though. And I think that when we're talking to people who have this kind of money are like, "Oh look, my stock will go higher because someone bought more of it. Good for me."
That's
and not
true.
Give a shit about the whole like murdering journalists thing.
Well, it's you know, great world we're living in. Moving on, this is an update from Yako Gureishi, who wrote Somali in the Forest, or I'm forgetting the exact name. It was an anime that came out a couple years ago. High Dive, I believe, has it right now. So they put out a new manga, or they're starting a new manga. But what was interesting about this, because we talked a few weeks ago that they were teasing a potential new series, and I guess there was an update where they...
It's A hell of a correction.
ANN like reached out to the mangaka and they're like, I wasn't talking about this one. It's just a coincidence. Like, what? They, I guess, were talking about bringing back Somali and The Guardian, I guess is what it's called in here. Because that went on hiatus due to health reasons, which in the article they talk about the author suffering from bipolar disorder. So I'm assuming it had something to do with that. Moving on, this is something that I may have covered before you two were involved. There was a French company, I believe, that said they wanted to make a Final Fantasy IX animated series. I was very excited. That's my favorite of the Final Fantasy franchise, and they are going to be showing a pilot at a Las Vegas licensing expo. I guess this is the first anybody's going to see of it.
This is a lot of people wondering because I don't know if you've covered this, but there's been this big video game leak that was like several months ago, but it keeps on becoming more and more true as more and more titles. And one of the titles that was leaked is a remake of Final Fantasy IX. And people were kind of like on the fence, but so much of it has come true that now coupled with this animated series coming out, people are thinking it's more and more true. So this might not be the only Final Fantasy IX thing we see in the next couple of years.
That does sound very familiar. I didn't know there was a leak, but I did see people talking about a remake fairly recently, and I didn't think much of it. Something that I thought was interesting about this article is that it sounds like, because when this was originally announced, you're like, oh, cool, they're making a series, and you just assume that it already has distribution. But the way this reads is that they made a pilot, and they're trying to shop it around so they can get distribution.
That is weird.
Pretty cool.
But then again, this is a game that came out in 2000.
Yeah, that
you know,
is
like,
fair.
Like, it has cultural cachet because it's Final Fantasy, but if you also want to look at Final Fantasy's history in the anime world, that's a bit more divided.
Oh, God, so, it really was 2000. Holy shit.
Yep, 22 years ago.
I think I played this in ninth grade. Oh, my God. It stays fresh in my head because I replay it, like, maybe once a year. Anyway, moving on. This is a... We see this every once in a while where like a YouTube channel or a website that deals in summarizing films gets in trouble legally. So this is just the latest in that. There is like a summary, I guess, YouTube video type thing where they were producing like 10-minute summaries of these films, and they are being sued by the studios for 500 million yen. I think I put what that translates to, just about $4 million. But I tried to think, like, what does, like, are they presumably they're just posting like a highlight reel of clips.
Yeah. I think if, let's put it this way. There would be no legal problem if they existed and they were just describing the plot.
Well,
but at that point, just go to Wikipedia. They must be just really condensing it, but, or maybe even they're showing the whole movie just sped up
so you could slow it down. That would be
no
really
matter what, like, this is like the worst. This is like the stupidest thing you could do as a YouTuber. Like, they had to know that they were inviting trouble.
Oh yeah. I mean, you don't do this innocently.
But you know, like, there's, I don't know.
We talked a few, maybe it was a month or two ago, about somebody that was just doing text summaries and they got in trouble. So the laws just, they must be different or more strict in Japan.
Yeah.
Next, we have an anime premiere date revealed, July 7th. There's a show called When Will Ayumu Make His Move? It is about a guy that has a crush on somebody, and I guess he's not going to tell her until he can beat her at shogi, but I don't know. She already knows and is trying to get it out of him. This is relevant because it is from the same creator as Teasing Master Takagi-san, which has a movie coming up and I believe a currently airing series. So if you like that show, then this may be up your alley coming this summer.
This anime, if I looked at one of those like charts of anime, I would not recognize this poster as anything worth watching.
Yeah, I would.
That poster is like cartoonishly generic.
I agree. The main reason I put it in here is because of the pedigree of the creator.
Yeah, I agree that she does look like the female character especially looks like she's from like same person. Like, I'm getting the Takagi-san, link there. But Oof. I hope that this is better than that poster.
The next piece of news, it just made me laugh because it's very, very just like to the point. Because Anime News Network usually has like longer headlines. Like the last one, you know, it's the name of the title. It's that it's anime. It's that it's coming out someday, whatever. This news article is just battery manga ends. And I laughed. I IRL LOL'd when I read that. I don't know anything about battery. I just thought it was very funny that it was so just to the point. Are either of you familiar with this series?
No. I'm reading
I think
now
it's
that
baseball?
It's a manga series as an adaptation of a novel. Yeah.
Well, so I guess if you were reading that manga, you will soon not be reading that manga anymore. Our first bigger piece of news, Yoshihiro Togashi is bringing Hunter x Hunter back. I gotta remember to always say the X now. That manga has been on hiatus for a while. I believe since, looks like 2018. Goes on hiatus a lot due to health reasons. I don't know what they are, but I know that he's been working on this for a long time. And it looks like it could be up to 10 chapters that are currently in production. And we found this out through Twitter. He made a Twitter profile with just like nonsense for the screen name. It is UN4V5S8BGSVK9XP. I don't know what that means. Maybe there's a secret meaning. Some people speculated that it was just like a fake account, but another mangaka, I think the One Punch Man mangaka, is like, no, that is him. Like, I know that guy and whatever. And in a short time, he already became the second most followed manga artist on Twitter, right behind Kohei Hirokishi, who created My Hero Academia.
See, that's what happens when you create that hunger. When people want their Hunter Hunter and they can't get it, they will go wherever promises more.
I don't know a lot about this series. I'm a big Yu Yu Hakusho person, but I never watched this one or read this one. Kyle, you don't really care for Yu Yu Hakusho, right?
I know. I like it. Okay, I don't know where that's, for the record, folks, I like Yu Yu Hakusho. I just have problems with Yu Yu Hakusho. You know, I can have both.
He hates it. have either of you indulged in any of this creator's other work, is, I guess, the question behind the question.
No, it's going to be after, I want to watch it, though. One Piece has made me no longer afraid of anything long.
What about you, Vinny?
Yeah, next time I have a shonen urge, I'm probably going to watch the Hunter x Hunter.
Thank you.
The second TV series.
I'm interested in the comparing
adaptation. Yeah.
Because
I know people love that second adaptation. So.
I heard it was very popular. I think I've seen the first episode of the original because there was one in the 90s. I believe, or early 2000s, and then there was the more recent one. And Viz, I think, started putting out the original, but did not complete it, if memory is serving me correct.
Yeah, I mean, the manga is all available, too, especially if you have the Shonen Jump app. I'm sure it's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the way to do it.
Yeah, that $2 a month that I don't read enough of.
Oh, my God. I keep forgetting I'm subscribed to it. That's how they get you. More manga is coming back from hiatus. Land of the Lustrous. That was, it got an anime a couple years ago, 2017, Jesus. And it was, this happened so long ago that it was on Anime Strike, which I don't think many people remember when Amazon tried to do an anime channel.
Oh my God, that's right. Amazon's failed, horrible experiment.
Yeah. Amazon's double paywall system did not last.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, that's also why I don't do Audible. Because like I would always get these like, get your free Audible book after you pay the monthly subscription. Like this. Anyway, Land of the Lustrous manga went on hiatus in 2020 and it looks like it's coming back June 24th. I don't know if that's available in English anywhere, but I assume probably just because that's a bigger title from what I remember.
Kodansha's been putting it out, so perfect. I'm not sure about digital, but I'm sure it is available in print. It has been available in print, at least.
This next story is an update from something we talked about recently. There was a a group of Sony employees that were trying to sue Sony for sexual harassment, discrimination, etc. I didn't realize that that lawsuit had been dismissed.
Yeah, they were. They basically didn't have. It was like they didn't have any like quote unquote proof, which was the problem. But that makes sense because a lot of their allegations were like this person did this and said this. They didn't necessarily have like documentation, right? And that's a problem with these kinds of lawsuits.
Yeah, it's very tricky. Yeah, from what I read in here, their case was too vague, and so it sounds like they have simplified it or like narrowed the scope of it, and so they're trying again. I did not read into all the details about this, so I don't know a ton about it, but I guess hopefully they have better luck this second time around. Oh goodness, what is this? Another an anime coming out in October. It is translated to, I've somehow gotten stronger when I improved my farm-related skills. Okay, I remember this one. This, yep. I think this is like, if you got isekai'd into the Harvest Moon world? Or yeah, maybe he's already there.
I use my hoe, that's the exact motion that you need to destroy orcs or something.
I don't know.
Of course.
Maybe that's what it's about. I don't know.
It's the whole like Karate Kid thing, right? You wax on, wax off, and then that makes you the best karate guy. This is the same idea, just with farming.
Makes sense to me.
Little did you know.
We have another anime that has been announced that I probably won't watch. It's called Smile of the... Oh my goodness. Ars Notoria, Magic Academy. And this is
the most cursed adaptations.
This is so generic that Anime News Network couldn't put a description of what it was about. It just says this is about girls at a magic academy.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on a smartphone game. What more do you want?
Yeah, that is fair. It is coming out July 6th for those who hate themselves. And that's really the only thing I know about it.
If that's you, please send us a message.
Yes, we can block your IP.
You know, when JP is watching this anime in the summer or fall when it comes out,
I love it.
We need to save this audio.
Yeah, I've tried to watch shows like this because like I try to, as I've gotten older and as I've seen more anime, I've realized that like I sometimes am too judgmental. So every once in a while, I will intentionally pick a title from the season that I think I'm going to hate. And I'm usually right.
Hey, are you Corey?
I don't know who that is.
He always says, but what if it's good? And then he watches shows far beyond the point where any normal human would have said, this ain't for me.
I just know I tried to watch
a
show.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I said I'm a firm believer in the Evan Minto test of the three image test.
Three image, I like anime. That.
You get three pictures to sell me on this show.
You don't even watch a trailer. I like it. Yeah, I watched something like this a few years ago, and I didn't even make it halfway through the episode before turning it off.
Just all about the aesthetic, really, right? I mean, smartphone games, it's all about like the gacha, collecting the girls, so I'm sure that's what this will be.
Yeah, probably. We got more anime announced. This one is called Phantom of the Idol. It has a slightly more interesting premise. It's coming out July 1st. This is about it looks like a boy band, pop duo type thing, and one of the people in the group is kind of the worst guy, and after a concert one night, he ends up like running into a ghost of an idol, and they hang out. I don't know.
His companion, his male performer companion, he's given it all every day, but he's just phoning it in, the main character. And it sounds like maybe this girl ghost might possess him so she can live out her dream of being like an idol, but he can also not give a shit.
I love that.
Yeah, this premise would be great for like an OVA. And I miss the era of the 90s where you get one decent OVA, go, man, I'd watch more of that, and then never more get made. But now it's like 13 episodes. I don't give a shit that much.
It's just framing. Like, I was thinking about this the other day because we get so many isekai that are like, oh, I want to come up with like a fun premise that it's just like a paragraph. And it's like you said, like the farmer one, like, oh, I was farming all day. And eventually that made me the most powerful fighter in the land. Like, think about One Piece, because that is a series where like Luffy's power is rubber, right? Like he ate the gum gum fruit. And but he's always shown as a badass. It's only when we go back to flashbacks, like 400 episodes in or whatever, that you see him as a kid and you go, oh, that power sucks. like as a kid, he uses it and like his hand will just like bounce off somebody. And it's just like the worst. Like it doesn't help him at all. And it's just shown as this like pain in the ass that he just, you know, through Shonen spirit, like ended up building up into like an unstoppable power, but like it wasn't powerful to begin with. And I'm just sitting there like, if they made One Piece today, it would be like, oh my gosh, I have to go up against, I'm supposed to become King of the Pirates, but I have the gum gum power. Like framing. It's all about how you present it.
Yeah.
I would like this more if it were presented differently, but like, it's still, it sounds like a fine premise. I don't know.
You do make a really good point, Vinny, about like the era of the OVA, where like a lot of those, like I remember them because there was only one or two episodes, but also
yeah, you'll watch anything once.
Oh yeah.
You'll be at an anime con and it'll be like 2 a.m. you're in a video room and you remember like half of an OVA that you watched.
Yeah. That's how I got through the first couple of years of my podcast, was all those like short OVAs. Another anime has been announced. It must just be like announcement season right now. This one is called The Masterful Cat is Depressed. Again? Today? What? Hold on. These words never
end. The Masterful Cat is depressed again today.
Okay, so that is getting an anime.
You say it all at once, it makes sense.
It's getting an anime next year. I did not read the description.
It's a big cat. He's like bigger than a human.
Jesus.
Yeah. That, but it's like he's normal. Like it's weird. He says that he likes to cook.
When Saku took in a stray black cat, she never expected he would become the equivalent of a housekeeping life partner. But blah blah blah, a giant cat who towers over Saku is not your ordinary feline. He takes great pride in his culinary skills and a good.
Here's the thing: it makes it look like this is a normal story, but he's just a big cat. But it also doesn't seem like that will be commented on.
It's cat tattooey. Anyway.
Rakatooey?
one of two cat anime coming out. There's another one we're going to talk about later. Moving on. This piece of news people must care so little about, because I did not know this was happening until I read this article. And this came out like, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday. There's a Speed Racer live action series that Apple's producing, and J.J. Abrams is the showrunner. Did either of you know this was happening?
That's why people are worried. I J.J. Abrams has so little, like, he's not well-liked right now after he made a shit show of Star Wars.
I have not really followed him since Lost, so I can't. I guess I saw the first Star Trek movie he did, and I thought that was all right, but I don't know. Because there's so little fanfare, I assume that this will probably be bad. Because people on my timeline aren't even taking the time to complain about it.
I mean, you know, after even the Wachowskis couldn't get Speed Racer to become a thing, do I have any faith that J.J. Abrams, Mr. Mystery Box himself, will? What's he going to try to do? Oh, I wonder who Racer X is. Wow, J.J., I wonder who it could be.
It's also, there's been like one show from Apple TV that's kind of had any cultural impact.
That show is like
aggressively inoffensive. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I know that people like Ted. I've actually seen every episode of that Ted show, whatever it's called.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I literally couldn't remember it. I've seen every episode. It is not a good show.
But it won all of the awards in the year where no other TV shows came out.
One of those shows where, like, let's put it this way, when the world is bad and you just are like, oh, it's nice that people are good to each other, but like as a show, it's a bad show.
So we have another announcement date. August 12th, Inuo will be screening in the US. That is the latest from Masaki Yuasa. I know I feel like Kyle has tempered expectations for this. You're the resident.
No, the more I see of it, the more I'm like really down for it.
Oh, okay.
I'm really hoping that this is like great Yuasa. You know, like I think it's a different art style for him, which of course, you know, they famously like try different art styles all the time. But this is one of my favorite ones just based on the images I've seen. And I think it's going to be a success.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
I think I'm misremembering because there was the Science Saru like Denocoil knockoff. Yeah, it's
the other one. That's the one that's all like Huck, Tom and Huck or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, that I'm one like, I think is going to be shit. But this looks good.
I thought you were going to Tom of Finland for a second. That I now want to see is the Science Saru's Tom of Finland show.
We got some Crunchyroll announcements. They announced that they are dubbing Super Cub and Blue Reflection Ray. These dubs will come out June 7th. And they also announced a bunch of stuff they are adding to their service, just more stuff migrating over from Funimation. The only notable ones I saw on here was Hellsing Ultimate and the original Hellsing that's coming May 31st, so the day after this podcast is coming out. Did either of you see anything else that seems notable?
Psycho Pass
on there.
Oh yeah, Psycho Pass.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Next up, we talked about this company briefly last week, I think, or the week before. Ascendant Animation. They have revealed an English dubcast for one of their titles called Demon King Evologia. I normally don't talk about dubcast.
No, it's called Everything Demon King Evologia.
I don't know how to read today. Normally I don't talk about dubcast announcements, but this is, I just thought it was cool that we got an update from a lesser known company. So just knowing that they're still in the game. I know we did talk about when they licensed this title, but that was months ago. So really cool that they're still working on stuff.
Yeah, too bad it's for another isekai.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
The bubble will burst.
We got some NFT news. I hope everybody's excited for that. Kindaichi Case Files, they're bundling NFTs in their 30th anniversary manga, which is really confusing to me because I don't know a lot about NFTs, but I thought the whole idea was that like you get it and it's yours and there's not like 1,000 of the same one. And that seems to be like you just buy the manga and you can get, you know, collect all 10. It just seems like a really backwards concept for something that already sucks.
Yeah. It's like turning an NFT into a gacha.
I don't give a shit. So I'm glad I don't care. I can date your case files.
Yeah. Well, there's also that.
Yeah.
Something that we might care about, Spriggan. Maybe not. The Spriggan anime that Netflix, I believe, is working on, or maybe they're working on a live-action movie. I don't remember. It was announced to have 6 episodes. Yay! And they're 45 minutes long. I didn't read the rest of this article.
That looks exciting. I mean,
I think it looks really good.
On it, like, so I will give it a chance, because I like what they do.
Did you guys watch the trailer?
I watched old Spriggan.
I didn't have time.
Seems like it's there is some 3D action, but I was, based off of what they showed, it looks like they were melding it pretty well. Like, this is one of the better examples of them like switching from 2D to CG that I've seen recently. And I do like the idea of having longer episodes, 45 minute and episodes. That sounds great.
Yeah, they can
it's
be a
like
lot
an
fun.
OVA.
It is just like
yeah,
an OVA.
I mean that is what it is, right?
6 45 minute episodes. That's an OVA, my friends. Netflix.
That's
is
what I'm saying. Like,
anime.
Yes, do that more. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Something that maybe we won't support, the Ruby anime. At least I think this is a sequel because it talks about returning people. Ice Queendom has a release date, July 3rd. So if you want some rubies, it's coming out this summer. New manga from Moto Hagio called Pose Clan. It looks like it's a next in a line of sequels for that series.
It kind of sounds like a cool idea for like a continuing series. It says it's several short stories revolving around a young vampire named Edgar who has lived for over 200 years. And it's set in Europe between the 19th and 20th centuries. So it's just, she keeps on launching new series that are just like episodes in his very long life.
Yeah, it's manga interview with the vampire. That was mean. I didn't know Moto Hakio was still alive. I'm a bad person.
I didn't know she was still working for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really shocked when I saw that headline.
Seems like it's been off and on based off of that. Like, you know, I don't know if it's like she always has a series when the last one finishes, but it sounds like this has been a long running series overall. So.
Yeah. And there are two books of this available in the Europe. One's available in the US, maybe. It looks like they had a print, but then volume two is coming out September.
That's
of
cool.
Of the Poe clan, if you want to read it in English.
That's a cool art style.
The other cat anime announcement that we have, August 3rd, Night with a Cat will premiere. This was the one we talked about a few weeks ago about a guy that like just wants to hang out with his cat and like doesn't like his job. I can relate, but I don't have a cat.
So. All I know is those eyes of the cat look like horror. Like everything on this art style is super cute, but those eyes, like I feel like we're 1 second away from that cat turning into some like horrific Cthulhu monster.
Well, we'll find out this summer.
See, I'm seeing a cat that is like, see, I see a cat that just hopped up on catnip.
Oh man, I'm such a pusher of catnip. Next up in our
what?
Are you just gonna let that go? What?
I can't be trusted around cats. Re-catnip. I nip them up. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, watch out. JP's doing some unsavory stuff with cats. You've been warned.
Whoa. When I had a roommate.
Keep your cats away from JP.
When I still had a roommate, she had two cats, and whenever she would like leave town or go to work, I would just pour catnip all over these cats. That sounds more exaggerated than what I was doing. I would just, I don't know. They wouldn't shut up, so I gave them the nip. Anyway, moving on.
JP's on nip with drugs.
In our weekly Dragon Ball Super Super news, I just wanted to say Dragon Ball Super Super. I did watch this
such
trailer.
Like a non-news piece. I was really surprised that it was here.
No, there was a highlight reel, right? Probably.
A highlight reel.
I watched
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, everybody, stop the presses.
Look.
Jeez.
As long as this show is brought up in the news, I will say it because it's fun to say. But I'll get to something more meaty for you, Kyle. There's a manga coming out on June 10th. It probably has a title, beautiful something. It looks like I didn't include the title in the article.
To be fair, the authors, and him either, so.
Yeah.
It's called She is Beautiful, all in undercase.
The plot to this is terrifying. It's like my worst nightmare. This woman, like, she's 10 years old and then wakes up and she's, what does it say, 22. And he's very confused, and it turns out that when she was 10, she got in an accident that erases her memory every day. That is horrifying.
Yeah, so it's like we're kind of in like the, 50 first dates, except from the girl's perspective.
Yeah, that is probably, I need to watch that movie. Lots of manga announcements. Kamiki has added a couple titles. Let's see, The Prince of Blue Roses. As well as everything that was on the Manga One app has been added to their app globally, it says. So that is pretty cool. The Prince of Blue Roses, I think I read this. This is about the woman who's going to get executed and then like wakes up 7 years prior and she's going to try not to get executed this time.
I at least like these where it's like they're in their own lives because, you know, that there's more stakes. I prefer this to like the absolute like, oh, I died, but now I'm in a different world that basically has no bearing upon what happened before. Like, I at least like this. This is like, okay, we know what's going to happen. There's like a narrative arc here, and it feels a lot less, I don't know, it feels a lot less scummy.
I know there's a, I should know what it's called because I've brought it up multiple times. There's a Yuri title that it's like a modern one that I think just had another season that has a very similar story, except it is an isekai.
My Life as a Villainess?
That's it. Yes. She like wakes up and she's in her favorite rom-com, visual novel and realizes that she's the person that gets killed at the end of the game. I think that's the plot. Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, that sounds right. I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's good. But also, yeah, there's like inevitable, like the stakes in it where like if she could die.
I watched the first three or four episodes. I had a good time, but I just tend to forget to watch stuff. Tokyo Mew Mew New. New Mew Mew New, whatever. An update from that. I know very recently the creator passed away. I think it was this title. We now have a premiere date. It is coming out July 6th. And I guess jumping ahead, it will be on High Dive. Speaking of... No, this is not speaking of High Dive. What is this? Carnival... Oh my God. Lucha and the White Contract is a manga. It's coming out June 28th. I don't know why I put this one in here. It is not noteworthy in any way. I guess there's a manga. Let's get on to Discotech. That's more fun. Discotech had their panel at Anime Boston yesterday, right?
Yes.
They announced a... not as much as they usually do because their panel is only an hour long as opposed to like 2.5 that they've been doing with the virtual panels. But they announced Planet With. It says there will be alternate final episodes with different music cues on that. Lupin the Third, Dead or Alive, which was originally put out by Funimation in 2005. So this will include the Funimation dub. I didn't realize that it was also directed by Monkey Punch. That's pretty cool.
Kind of.
Kind of.
He directed like the first... He's credited as the director, but he only really directed like, the first scene before he realized this is way too hard.
Yeah.
And then someone else is... rest of the film. But it's pretty good. It has some neat animation in it. I'm going to pick that one up, probably.
There is also, this one I'm not familiar with, A Ho Girl, and I'm assuming not a lot of people are, because it has a limited print run of 1,500 copies. Noelle should be happy to hear that Symphogear Axis was announced as well. And then I think this is a film called Flying Phantom Ship, and that will be getting...
I was just talking about this a few weeks ago, for the record. Remember, we had a whole talk about it.
Did? Oh my God. I don't remember.
We were comparing this to like Scooby-Doo and stuff.
I don't know where I was mentally, because I don't remember this.
We definitely talked about it on the podcast, right?
Oh, I guarantee that we did. But I'm just...
Yeah, it's just so funny, because this is a really old movie. This is from like the 60s. And it's getting an English dub.
Yeah, it should be cool. People seem excited about it, and it's from a company that I'm not familiar with, a studio doing the dub, I mean, called Coach of Sound.
I was about to say, you've never heard of Toei Animation?
Never heard of them.
Toei?
And then finally, Virtua Fighter, which is 35 episodes. I guess Media Blasters was putting this out in the past, but only dubbed up to episode 24.
How many fighting game anime are left?
That I don't
Discotech
know.
Discotech doesn't have. I mean,
the Art of Fighting OVA, maybe.
The Tekken movie.
Oh my God,
Tekken.
What?
I mean, the animated one. Yeah.
Battle Arena Toshinden.
Anime of that?
Yeah. For a long time, people thought that was the first anime DVD, but I don't think it was.
What's his name directed that?
Oh God.
Someone
that we can't trust.
Same guy
did the
Fatal Fury movie. I went to the first episode, and then I think like phoned in the second one.
It's in my head, but I can't. Masami Obari, is that it?
Yes,
that bastard.
Yes, Masami Obari piece.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. They also announced
he did a lot of the fighting anime in that era. So
they also announced some release dates for other titles: Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan. The TV special is coming out this August. Fatal Fury the movie. We'll get a Steelbook release also in August. And I don't believe this is like a special one. I think this is...
No, this is just a re-release with the Steelbook. They confirmed nothing. This isn't like the situation with Angel Cop.
And then Beelzebub is coming out fall of 2022, which it looks like this previously came out in DVD about, what is that, 6-7 years ago? Moving on, because we are slowly running out of time and we still have some big news, quickly running out of time. Azuki made a really cool announcement. They have licensed their first manga that they are translating themselves. It is called Hikaru in the Light. And what I had a thing about this, I think they're simul-publishing this, and they're going to be doing... Oh, God. Where is it? Starting on June 13th, new chapters every week until they catch up. So that's really cool news. And then also, there was another one. I should have bolded more of this. Did I put When Pink Rain Falls 2? That is the other thing they announced. So really cool stuff. I don't know. Have either of you have any familiarity with either of these titles?
These sound like their first, you know, this is like Hikaru in the Light. That's like going in Japan right now. Like, we wouldn't, unless if we were looking at fan translations, I wouldn't have even had the possibility of running into it.
That's fair. Well, good stuff. There was also a High Dive panel at Anime Boston. We already talked about how they are going to be streaming Tokyo Mew Mew, but also, is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon for new arc, colon, labyrinth? And
we also say the colons here.
You got to say the colons. And also Call of the Night. And then there was just like a funny thread that Mike Toole posted because he was at this panel. And he was saying that, you know, they announced all these titles that weren't getting a ton of cheers. And then finally they mentioned Redo of Healer and that got the crowd going. The biggest cheer, it says, was for Vinland Saga, which he thinks might not be streaming on High Dive. And then
no, because that was an Amazon, that was an Anime Strike title originally.
Maybe they have, maybe it's on Blu-ray. I don't know.
They did. They are doing the home video, I think.
The funniest piece of about it though is he said that after 15 minutes they ran out of clips and announcements and just went into Q&A, and that did not last very long because they wrapped up the panel in 30 minutes.
Yikes!
That is not great.
Yeah, he didn't say he was running the panel, which is a little surprising. I know that, you know, usually people who've been running those panels, like David L. Lucas, has been doing it forever.
I wonder how High Dive's doing now that their competition is so big. Is this something we should be concerned about?
Well, they just got picked up by AMC, so I assume that they're fine, right? We haven't heard any news about that since, not that they...
You know, they're going to have a harder time, though, competing with Sony than they would against Funimation and Crunchyroll.
I can see them actually doing maybe a little better because I would imagine that Funimation Crunchyroll is going to probably pick up less titles overall, and there might be more weird pickings because they've always had like the weird shit that no one watched anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see this. I think they'll do fine personally. Okay.
More announcements from Anime Boston. Crunchyroll announced that they will be streaming Blue Lock, as well as Orient's second season and the second season of Rent a Girlfriend. J Novel Club announced a bunch of stuff as well. We have Now I'm a Demon Lord, Happily Ever After with Monster Girls in My Dungeon. Jesus, that's a light novel. Tear Moon Empire, which is a manga. Oversummoned, Overpowered, and Over It, which is a light novel and a manga. The Skull Dragon's Precious Daughter, manga. Did I seriously just get reincarnated as my gag character? Both light novel and manga. Whew. The Wind Reaches the End of the World, manga. Rebuild the World, light novel. And then Isekai Tensei, Recruited to Another World, which is a light novel. Konosuba has been confirmed to have a third season for fans of that series. I'm not among them. But also there will be some spin-off novels. What was really funny about this is I think there's a typo in the headline because it said Konosuba announces Konosuba. I believe they meant, what is it, Kadokawa or Kodansha? I forget.
Kadokawa.
Moving on. This one is really confused me. There is a multimedia hip-hop project called Paradox Live. It is getting a TV series in 2023. It is about rappers that like wear special, I don't know, necklaces or accessories that let them make like manifestations of their emotions while they're performing. I don't know. I tried to figure out what this was and I could not get a clear answer because it's like, it's a multimedia project. It's getting an anime. I'm like, okay, so is it a video game? Is it like a gacha? Like, what is this? And I couldn't, the best I could understand is that there were CDs that had a story.
It says it so far includes CDs, merchandise, and events. So it seems like this is created from the ground up to kind of be just like something that they could do a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't sound like it. Let's put it this way. This was driven by them just wanting to create something big. It wasn't like they had something that was a success that they're like, let's try to spawn this off and spin it off into cool stuff. So be wary.
I just like this as merchandise. We have stuff you can buy. I don't fucking know. Buy a figure. I don't fucking care.
I think you just used the word wary when, you know, I look at things that have attempted to do this in the past, like Dead Space. They were a big multimedia adventure. They had, what, like a, they had a movie, they had like a cell phone game, they had the video games, obviously Dead Space 1 and 2, and I don't know if they were.
They started off as Dead Space 1, and then they became other things.
I think there was like an AR game.
Yeah, and there were like Wii games, there were, you know, of course, like the three main ones. I think there's an anime.
Yeah, yeah, that's the movie, and maybe OVA is a better, because I don't think it was like a 90-minute thing. I did see the anime. That was a kind of, I liked Dead Space 1. I never played 2. It had an interesting concept, at least. You killed the aliens by shooting off their arms. What else? Dot Hack was another big one. Dot Hack had like video games, yeah, books, manga, you know, dozens of anime of varying
qualities. Yeah, but like the Matrix sequels in there too.
Yeah, that is, I would, yeah. Yeah, because they had an MMO at one point, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was with that, when that came out, that was the two movies plus the Animatrix and...
Don't forget Enter the Matrix.
That's what I'm about to say, yeah, which all have like... The full
Again, but those all started all with them. One central thing that sparked it, right? Like, they didn't try to do like the spontaneously, like, it exists. Now everyone wants to make stuff for it. It's like, okay, why do I care?
It's the Gabo plan.
The what?
If people just say Paradox Live enough, they'll wonder what it is. It's Gabo. Simpsons joke.
Oh, it's like, you're going to get me. And then our last piece of news before we get to the biggest story of the week. Everybody's favorite cop propaganda manga, Police in a Pod, is going on hiatus in June. Darn. I don't know. The author's going to make more stuff, I guess, if somebody cares.
That time I was isekai'd because I killed a black man? Oh my God. Is that the like spinoff of this?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe. Holy shit.
Okay, I killed that goblin. He had an ounce of coke on him.
Oh my God.
Right?
I found I died because I touched fentanyl by accident. Oops.
I think
I got isekai when I touched fentanyl.
So it seems like our stance on police is pretty fucking clear on this podcast. I once got accused of being pro cop because I made a cop joke on a podcast. So let's just double down that is not the case here. Anyway. The biggest piece of news over the week, Seven Seas, the staff as well as freelancers are working towards, getting their, what do you call it? Employer to recognize their union. They have formed the United Workers of Seven Seas. They have a Twitter account that I wish I was keeping more up to date with, but they are fighting to get better working conditions, better pay. It looks like healthcare, PTO, more reasonable workloads, fair deadlines, as well as more organization. It looks like a well-organized digital office. Surprise, Seven Seas does not want to play fair here. Not really a shocking response that a company would not want the union. I believe Evan Minto of Azuki brought up this point. It's like, you know, even when you have like a very firm belief in all of this stuff, just like from a on paper, it's like, do I want to make less money? No. We of course know that this is a good thing.
Especially because, I mean, according to this, especially, they're not receiving like comparable rates to even like general publishing industry folks, which, and their numbers are generally shrinking. But I think that the manga industry in particular, and kind of like, it's expanding. Like, it's one of the few, I think, types of, you know, like book and printed media that is doing well. So oh, yeah. I think there's a lot less of an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, look like they've quadrupled their staff in 4 years.
Yeah, that's a growth industry, baby.
Wild.
Well, and you just think like every week it feels like we're announcing, you know, like a couple dozen new manga licenses. It kind of, it blows my mind, honestly, how many we talk about. Cause I think back to, you know, like the boom period when I was in high school, where just all of this stuff was coming out. And then it scaled back and we're getting back to that, but it seems to be working this time because, you know, a lot of these manga companies were announcing like record profits for the last couple of years. And that's probably how they signed their death wish, or death warrant, because, you know, when mom and dad are making more money, you want to see more of it. Same thing, you know, is going on with Crunchyroll and Sony. You know, once that merger went through, a lot of the voice actors are like, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you pay us more than $35 an hour? You just spent $1 billion buying this other company. But it looks like, I don't know if either of you said this part yet, but 32 out of the 41 eligible workers are currently in favor of this union. And they're working with a group that I'm not familiar with called Communication Workers of America. It seems like
they're an old, and one of the big old unions in the country.
Do you know, like, do they cover like specific people, or are they just like somebody that like represents you during bargaining? I'm not super familiar.
So they started as like a telephone organizing within the telephone operators, but I think they've expanded since then. They're part of AFL-CIO though. So they're one of the classic American unions.
Nice. And then we have a statement from Seven Seas. We appreciate having the opportunity to give our point of view regarding the unionization effort at Seven Seas Entertainment. We respect the rights of our employees to choose or not choose union representation. While we have been requested by a number of employees to voluntarily recognize the Communication Workers of America as their legal representative without a National Labor Relations Board conducted election, we have decided to respect the right of all eligible employees to vote on this issue. Since unionization would affect more members of the staff than those who have already come forward, an election will ensure that everyone has the opportunity to learn about their rights and the details of the process before they cast their vote through a government process. We have notified the National Labor Relations Board that we are prepared to move forward with an election among an appropriate unit of employees, and we will, of course, abide by the outcome of the election. I know before we started this, you were, Vinny, asking, like, who's going to be voting on this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact process for how they decide their bargaining unit. Obviously, they recognize that there's at least 41 workers in that unit.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like Seven Seas is probably trying to expand that to dilute that a bit.
Yeah.
Which is also a delaying tactic that bosses will use to delay things so that they have more time to send out their propaganda and remind you that we're a family here.
Yeah, I can't wait for the subsequent weeks where we're going to hear about all of their anti-union propaganda. Oh, I'm sure this will give us a steady stream of news. Unfortunately.
Yeah, look at how much manga you could buy if you don't pay union dues. I forget who it was. I think it was Delta. It's like union dues cost as much as a PlayStation 4. You could get a PlayStation 4 if you don't join the union. Like, I could get 3 PlayStation 4s with the raise I get from joining the union. What are you talking about? I really hope that this works out in their favor. Obviously, I'm a union member. I'm part of IATSE Local 52. I want everybody to get treated better and get paid more money. But also just like as a good person, I think that we work too much and deserve to be treated fairly at work. But I'm also hoping that this starts to kick some of the voice actors that are dragging their feet in the ass. I know that a lot of the LA voice actors are pro-unionizing Crunchyroll, but a lot of the Texas voice actors are a little more hesitant. Surprise. I wonder if that's why Funimation got their studio in Texas. Yeah, this is
that was probably why they bought Crunchyroll, honestly.
Yeah.
I bet that was a factor in why they did it. Because if they have a non-union studio, it's a lot easier to work with. I was just looking up, so it looks like CWA has been doing a lot of the organizing for digital outlets. So Glitch, Paizo, Activision Blizzard has been where they've worked with. So they're sort of on that front of like digital communications people now too.
Well, hopefully we get good news coming out of this.
Yeah, there is some also, I think that there has been positive movement on the union side, at least like in that kind of entertainment area recently. I know that on the day that they announced that they were going to unionize the Seven Seas employees, that was the day that Raven Software, they finalized their union vote on their video game testers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
that was also the same group too, at CWA. who did that.
Yeah. And they just announced that they successfully, like, it was a voted yes. And of course, Activision Blizzard is in the process of being acquired by Microsoft. And Microsoft really wants it to go through. And of course, one of those things. So they said that they, if it goes through, that they will voluntarily recognize the union. But of course, they're doing that because they want the government to okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fair.
They're like, so they're very much trying to be on their best behavior. But like the video game industry, it's also is not unionized very much. And so there's movement on that front. There's movement here. And I don't know, there is hope that maybe this will lead to a sea change.
I love that this is happening. When COVID first happened, I thought, like, maybe this will finally be the time that people realize, like, how much of their life they give away to their jobs and how, you know, little regard these jobs have for our own health and safety. I'm like, there's got to be like a labor revolution. And it didn't happen immediately, so I gave up hope. But then we're, what, 2-3 years later, and it's happening. And I think that's really cool.
I mean, it takes a long time to organize a workplace, talking to some people who I know. I think it took like a year to organize one of the local breweries here.
Oh, yeah. I remember there was a lot of things like that in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minneapolis area, because there was a coffee shop I used to go to.
Spy House.
Yeah, Spy House. That's what it was.
Fuck them.
I guess that didn't work out. It sounds like.
In case you want to know whether we thought of unions, and, you know, we're all pro union here.
All right. So.
Fuck Spy House, fuck Surly, and fuck Tattersall.
Oh, Surly's overrated anyway. Fucking hell. Anyway, moving on. Toonami ratings for May 21st. Everything's up, actually, which is really cool. Primal, I didn't realize, I probably said this last week and just forgot about it, but Primal was added. That is it Genndy Tartakovsky? Is that his name? I might be mispronouncing that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy who did Samurai Jack and Prime, and right?
Yes.
Samurai Jack and Dexter's Lab.
So, the new one, he has a new one, it's like a caveman.
That's the one that's Primal. So that got 325,000. That is up 38,000 from last week. Assassination Classroom was at 263,000, up 46,000. Lupin the Third was up 56,000, so they're at 240. One Piece also, everything went up this week, which is pretty cool, except Naruto. So One Piece went up 20,000 on their first episode, 6,000 on their second episode. Naruto remained the same at 142. But then I think the most interesting thing is even the late night stuff went up. Shenmue went up 13,000. And then it turns out Cowboy Bebop has not been airing for the last couple of weeks, and they just haven't updated their table. I believe it's been Attack on Titan since at least May 14th. But that is also
It's been Attack on Titan, the final season, season two.
But that was up 3,000, which is cool. So I'm going to move on to our final piece, the Right Stuff bestsellers. Moving over to the Blu-ray first, we have Darkstalkers OVA at number 10. We have The Detective is Already Dead at number 9. I'm not familiar with that. Ursa Yatsura, Remember My Love at number 8. Suppose a Kid from the Last Dungeon Boonies at number 7. Project Echo Blu-ray at number 6. Ursa Yatsura Alum Forever at number 5. Belle at number 4. Fate Grand Order, one of the movies, at number 3. Combatants Will Be Dispatched at number 2. And then My Hero Academia World's Heroes Mission at number 1. We'll go over to the manga. Let's see. Chainsaw Man, My Dress Up Darling, Spy Family. Not a lot of variety here. It's just all those for the whole thing.
I think this is variety. Those are our usual, like, one manga title.
That is more variety than usual. And then DVDs, we'll go through this quickly. Boruto Next Generation Set 1 at number 10. Beyblade Metal Master at number 9. Yashahime, fuck yeah, at number 8. That looks like Set 1. Gokudo at number 7. Angel Links number 6. Bubblegum Crash still on here. That went up 2 spots there at number 5. Golden Boy at number 4. Clamp, the double feature, Tsubasa Chronicle and Triple X Holic at number 3, Beyblade DVD 1 at number 2, and then more Bubblegum Crisis, 80 Police Files at number 1. This has been the News Broom. Holy shit, we made it. We talk
Why
about the news.
Did they put out
what?
Angel Links on DVD. I didn't realize Angel Links got a DVD from Funimation.
I did not.
And it looks like a Blu-ray, too.
Well,
it does. It says it has like that little band of like DVD.
Yeah, it looks like a Blu-ray. False.
Anyway, be sure to check us out every week for your recap of the news. You can find it at gonzo.moe. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher and follow us on Twitter. Goodbye.